Dean once very famously said in an interview that the internet is a beautiful tool.
I think it was at the place we met.
Yes, and I was like, what is this girl on? Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about internet spirituality. Dean, are you ready?
Ooh, very spiritual. Hi. I'm not going to lie, this is not our normal recording time, and I texted you this morning to be like, we good, and you never responded.
You did?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, dang, I think she forgot.
Ah, 8:52, you did say we good. We're good, here I am.
We good, yeah, we good.
We're good.
I'm all in my head about the banter up top because of all the haters.
Don't
haters
be.
Gonna hate.
No, there's not a lot of haters. No. Remember what Andrew said in our creativity episode? He said, that is the hallmark of this show. And that is the recipe. And so if this is the, you're trying to eat this soup, this is the soup we're serving. If you're trying to eat a different soup, go to a different show.
I want something sexier than soup though. Like if you're trying to eat this steak dinner and this side of potatoes.
Okay.
Anyway.
That does sound very sexy.
Anyway, you good? You good? We good?
I'm okay. I'm sad to tell you I'm sick.
I could hear it in your voice.
I know. So if I start coughing, you guys, I'm going to try to not make it loud. But Raina had a little something last week, and then she's so generous. She shares all things with her mom.
Oh, what a lover. That's so weird. My daughter also has a cold, and I think in the summer, who gets a cold?
Well, I was going to tell you that part of my cringe is that I have done the thing you said is the most cringy, which is to get a summer cold. You made that very explicit.
I don't remember
what episode, but you were very judgmental about the people who get summer colds. And
I wasn't judgmental. I just feel it's like cringy. It wasn't like it's your fault. It's just who wants a cold in the summer? The germs are not rampant. It shouldn't be this way. Yeah.
It sucks.
Exactly. It's confusing too.
But I have been like drilling vitamins. Like there is this one thing called Umka, UMKA. Ooh. It's a floral, it's like some herbal floral thing. You get it at like a Whole Foods store and it's a dropper and you take 3 drops a day.
And
that plus these vitamin C tablets that you just like chew. I'm telling you, my cold is way different than Raina's. Like my throat ache lasted, a third as long. Now the cough is here. We'll see what happens. But it makes a big difference. So this episode is sponsored by Umka. We wish.
Wow. I don't do Umka in my rotation when I'm sick.
Do it. Add it.
Oh, I'll check it out. Umka.
Okay, but I have a delight.
Oh, grand.
Okay, Bean. Uh-huh. Quiz. What is my biggest dream? What do I wish that I was doing in this lifetime?
Playing a tambourine in a band?
You are so...
Is that right?
Look what I have here.
It's an egg. It's an egg shaker.
It's a shaker.
Yeah.
Yes. But also.
For our listeners, Maury just held up what appears to be a banana shaker still wrapped in its original wrapping. Did you purchase this in the Target dollar bins?
No.
It's giving me real Target dollar bin feels. My favorite.
No. My kids went to a guitar store because my stepson Keegan is a guitar like whiz.
Great.
And he found this guitar he loves and they came home and TJ had bought me this shaker because he knows my dreams.
Wait.
And then what?
Why not a full-blown tambourine? Why did it have to be a small pink egg?
He said, you have a tambourine. And I said, where? And he said, somewhere in the storage. I know. But he got me a little pink egg shaker. But this is what I want you to know. I took an online class. So when I first got the shaker, this is what I was doing.
Oh.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah.
But I just want you to hear the difference between that and my online class. Okay, this is my first public performance. I'm very nervous.
Wait, wait, stop. What? You took a tambourine class?
No, a shaker YouTube class online.
When?
I watched a YouTube video. I just watched a YouTube video.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh my God. What? I thought you were like enrolled in a multi-class tambourine shaking.
No,
extravaganza.
I watched a YouTube video, and I just want you to hear the difference. Ready?
All right, go.
Okay. Isn't that a little bit of a beat?
I feel like for the people who don't like our banter, this is really going to drive them nuts. Like, not only are we not bantering, you're playing a small egg shaker. on the pod.
You're welcome.
And then you said I took a class.
I did. One step closer to my dream.
You're getting there, babe. You're so close.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the bananas for my friend, who I mentioned, I think on an episode, I said we were going to take a tambourine class.
Yeah.
I bought her this banana shaker.
I feel like you're entitled to a banana shaker.
I agree. I think the banana shaker has a better sound because it has more space for the little beans to.
I think it has a better vibe too. It's a banana.
It's true. Anyway, Bean, tell me about you.
Well, I feel like my cringe is partly you telling me you took a YouTube class and it was just a video you watched on YouTube. And my delight is very simple.
But are you proud at all?
I'm very proud.
Okay, thank you.
I'm very delighted for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My delight is small and simple and lovely. It's having lots of time now that soccer's over and we don't have all these commitments constantly for school and after school and all of these fun things that we have been seeing people constantly. We are like super popular all the time. Me, the
kids. What do you do with these people?
I don't know, but I will say I'm drinking every weekend all the days through. And normally I don't drink that much.
No.
Right. And I've been drinking incessantly because we just keep hanging out and having the fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah. And my kids can stay up a little later and like, you know, it's fun. That's it. That's all I got.
That's so great. So just so you're popular is what you're here to tell me.
I'm just enjoying time with lots of people who I haven't been able to really spend time with due to all of the life things that happen during the school year.
What'd you do this weekend?
Friday night, we went out to dinner with friends, and actually my oldest watched all of our kids and we went closer. Yeah. And we're back for bedtime. Yeah.
Good job, Evie.
Saturday we had friends over, and then Sunday we went to a friend's pool. It's just been nonstop. It's been nonstop fun. I'm really enjoying it.
I love this for you. I agree. Summer is really, as the kids say, giving this year.
Is that what the kids say?
It's giving.
I haven't heard that. What does that mean?
It's not even. It's
just, no. Can you just like, quickly elaborate? Really,
it means it's giving. It's like it's really doing it for us. Like it's
you just
really
say
coming
it's
through.
Giving. I know people used to say it's giving me like something vibes.
No, giving.
You just say it's giving?
Yeah. Except now I'm embarrassed for us because if a Gen Z person listens to this podcast, everything we just said was cringy. That whole exchange was deeply cringe worthy.
Well, I think it's giving. Did I use it right? Was that right?
Yeah,
or not?
That was perfect.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyway, for those of you who have fast forwarded through the banter and are just arriving at the core content here, we are going to be chit-chatting about internet spirituality because there's a lot out there now. It's like, where do you look? What do you find? Who do you trust? Who do you not trust? How do you take it seriously when it's a rather saturated market?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is you just follow Maury and then you cut it off there. That's your answer.
That's all we're here to say.
Thanks for listening.
I am so glad you said that because I woke up this morning, I was meditating and I was like, okay, how do you want to do this episode given that this is what you do?
I know.
Or I was like, part of your life.
This is going to get tricky.
So I think that my goal for today is to just be really honest and accountable and have integrity throughout this whole conversation. But full disclaimer that when we say internet spirituality, what we mean is people who give out spiritual life advice through social media or YouTube that have grown in popularity over time. And that's a trend that we're seeing is that a lot of people have become very well known because of their content related to spiritual life and or self-help. And I'm an intuitive life coach and an intuitive leadership coach. And everything that I do on Instagram and TikTok is about this very same thing. So I am one of the people that we are talking about.
Totally.
And I think what we're going to attempt to do today is just offer listeners some filters through which to think about this content so that you can get right with, you know, do I really feel in my body, in my spirit, in my energy, that this is good for me, that this is connected to my highest good, and not about the ego of the person making the content. That's really, I think, the differentiator for the conversation today about internet spirituality. But yeah, Bean and I were talking and I agree. We needed to make this episode because there's just so much out there and there's so many different people out there sharing life advice, sharing spiritual advice right. that we thought, why don't we stop and talk about where is this helpful? Where maybe does it fall into not being helpful to people's journey?
That's great. Plus the algorithm, once you read one or two, when you see one or two, it's just going to pump like 100 your way. And how do you pick? Anyway, so what trends? You said trends? Yes. Honestly, full disclosure, Maury is probably on social media more than I am. So she has more knowledge and awareness than I do about this and what she sees.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love for you to tell me about some of the trends you see with internet spirituality.
Okay, so, you know, there's a couple of things that are happening right now with content creators who share spiritual and self-help content. One of them is sharing courses and classes around mindfulness. Sometimes these are meditation classes or online yoga classes. Excellent. Way more accessible. Sometimes they are courses on, for example, I have one called Unleash Your Intuition, how to find your intuitive voice. Sometimes they are, you know, other kinds of classes that help you create a routine or a practice in your life that gets you closer to a spiritual consciousness or a more peaceful inner state of mind. Okay. And, you know, I think that that trend, as far as I'm concerned, and you push back, feels really positive to me. Because Bean once very famously said in an interview that the internet is a beautiful tool. And so
I think it was at the place we met.
I was in the interview and I was like, what is this girl on? I was like, is she high? The internet's a beautiful tool. You know what I mean?
I still feel that way.
And then she passed her joint on to us.
I still feel that way.
She does. Yeah. So one of the beauties of the internet is that everything is so accessible to people with an internet connection, right? Which is a good number of percentage of people in the world. So, you know, if they're priced right, then they can be really helpful to all people. Because one of the problems I think that I have with certain internet coaches is that it can be really, really hard to access them or to do the work. Right? Like a lot of the stuff is behind a paywall. And if you need to make a living off of it, which I totally understand, no judgment there. It's just about pricing things in a way where everyone can have access to it. So
isn't that subjective? The price, pricing it fairly?
Well, yeah, totally. It depends on your socioeconomic standing for sure. But I just mean, you know, the difference between like a $2,000 course and a $100 course.
Right.
Right. Like there are levels. This is all that I'm trying to say. I think that this category, this trend of online courses in the spirituality self-help space is hugely positive because it's bringing a lot of information to people in a very accessible way in their homes. The only con is if people are priced out of it. So the only thing I would say is reach out if you see someone teaching a course. This happened with me and say, are you willing to do scale pricing? Are you willing to do, you know, based on people's socioeconomic or whatever, like, are you willing to do different kinds of pricing for people, which I always do if people ask me. So reach out and ask, can I pay a different rate than what you're offering here? But I think that this category is pretty good. Bean, do you have any pushback on online classes and courses?
I don't. I haven't experienced a lot of them, but I think that that is a really, I don't have a lot of pushback because I think that's really a positive thing. But then again, how do you weed through and pick out which ones are the most beneficial and which ones are actually will be successful?
Yeah. And I think that goes to the teacher, which we'll talk about in a minute, because I think that's where I would love to get into what to look for, like when you're trusting someone's advice online. The other trend that we're seeing is religious services being held online. Again, I think that this happened obviously because of COVID, where, you know, you couldn't meet in a church, you couldn't meet in a mosque. And so there had to be other ways for the community to come together and practice. And some of the pros of that is like there's connection for people geographically even, right? So think about an online service. You don't have to be in the same community. You're able to bring people together from all over the world. And then there's opportunity in that for global interaction. Part of the reason that we hate each other is that we don't understand each other. So the beauty in this is that we're able to see people who look different to us but share similar values and start to see ourselves in them and feel connected in a way that creates more inclusion in our society. So that's, again, I think another trend that has largely positive vibes to it. I think that the only negative I can see is like there's less of a feeling of community if you're not all in the same building. So with as with anything, like remember what online school was like during COVID, there is a little bit of a disengagement or, you know, varying engagement levels when you're sitting on a Zoom. But for the most part, again, I think this is where the internet is so helpful because it's bringing together disparate people to share values.
Yeah, totally agree. I feel like you're waiting for pushback and I'm like, yeah.
I'm just giving you space. Okay. The third category of trend here is spiritual influencers and content creators, which full disclosure, I fall into that bucket. And this is where it gets a little dicey, right? Because the pro here is that because of social media, we are now able to receive inspiration and teaching and guidance from people with diverse backgrounds. Whereas before, you know, if you looked like the ideal of success, exactly, the majority of these kinds of influencers were white men, right? Think Tony Robbins, right?
Right.
Now we're able to hear diverse perspectives and be inspired by and guided by diverse perspectives, which is so beautiful. And that's a huge pro. Also that the content is so easily accessible. I'd say that's the hugest
pro.
Think about, I don't know if you feel like this, but I can have depressive episodes. And when you're depressed, it's really hard to motivate yourself to get up and go read a book or go to a seminar or go to a gathering. But if you are liking this kind of content, then the algorithm's working with you. And when you're scrolling, you just might be laying in bed and happen to see something that changes your perspective in that moment or gives you inspiration or allows you to go further on this journey of, you know, self-acceptance and growth and connection to something bigger than yourself, which is proven to really help when you're feeling sad or disconnected or depressed. So the accessibility in this way, I think, is about, you know, catching people in their daily lives in the moments they need that inspiration, which I think is such a beautiful, like, magical way this works, right? Like, do you ever feel like you're scrolling Instagram and you see a video and you're like, oh my God, was that for me?
Totally. I think it happens all the time. And then I'm like, is Instagram in my head?
Instagram is in your head.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
So the thing is that it can feel like a part of it. Like, it feels really divine that in that moment, this person has shown up in your feed to say the thing that you needed to hear to feel inspired or to heal. That's another huge pro. This is where I think we get into the cons, though.
Huge.
The risk of massive superficiality is where I really have my antenna up and I'm paying attention. What I mean by that is, like, is this person just saying things because they can say them nicely? They look nice. They have, you know, top-notch editing quality. Or do they walk the walk? Is there something to back up the guidance, the inspiration, the teaching that they're giving? Do they have a career or a background? Or, you know, does their current life model the things that they're saying you should do? If not, then the con is that it can feel really superficial.
Totally. It's I wonder if it's a little tricky, though, to figure out how they live their lives personally. You know what I mean? Online, everybody fits the bill. But I guess you eventually, if you follow somebody long enough, you'll start to understand and hear examples from their life that can prove or disprove.
Yeah, totally. A lot of people are getting in trouble for this right now because it's seen as plagiarism, right? Where, you know, some people, some content creators, specifically in the self-help and spirituality space, are taking content they've seen from other people or being accused of doing that and packaging it more nicely and getting called out for that. And I think that the trouble with that, it's such a fine line, because my belief is, you know, when I sit down to meditate, if I'm going to do a coaching session or record a podcast or write my book or make content, what I'm trying to do is still my mind enough to receive inspiration and guidance in a way that is going to help all. Like I always say, this has got to be the highest good of all. What I know about that to be true for myself is there is a collective consciousness. There is a, you know, level of universal truth that those of us that are stilling our mind are all going to tap into the same well. If we're pulling water out of the same well, right, it's going to have very similar characteristics to it. And that is the point, right? We're all meant as teachers to be teaching this stuff from different perspectives so that the right person at the right time can meet the right teacher and receive the inspiration, the guidance, the healing. So I think that it's a little tricky because sometimes it might feel like plagiarism when actually, you know, we're all basically saying the same thing and have been for thousands of years. Yeah,
right. Totally. And that's fair if you're all getting the same message.
Yes, but sometimes it is plagiarism. And sometimes it is, you know, people have written things in a certain way and people are borrowing it. So I think that's one thing to just look for is like people who are being accused of that. I don't subscribe to cancel culture in this way. Do not just make your mind up, but I would say just look at it further. Who are the original sources that are saying that they've written this stuff and follow those people too. Yeah, follow those people too. I think the other con is just credibility, which I think is connected. Like, you know, when I think about people that inspire me, whose books I read, like Gary Zukav, for example, I want to know that they're living their life based on the principles they're teaching. That's really important to me.
Yeah.
That they're not teaching one thing and living a different life. And this is when we did our cult leader episode, I think something that really was a characteristic that we saw, which is saying a bunch of stuff to people who seem desperate or lonely or in need of community, of connection, but actually then living a very different life. So for example, if I'm preaching simplicity of life and how paring your life down to achieve nirvana or ultimate consciousness, but I live in a $38 million mansion and I'm driving a different car every day, there's a disconnect between what I'm telling you and the way I'm living my life.
Right.
That sounds good, right? But there's a credibility issue there.
Right. Totally. I think it's with online, though, just like with all online anything, it's tricky to see real life because you're only seeing this one aspect of these people.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes you can see their real life and convince yourself that it's all part of it. And I guess I'm just saying, if the way that they show up on Instagram just feels to you like, wait a minute, you're saying one thing, but you literally are dressed in designer clothing, or you're, you know, or maybe you're preaching that this does give you success and then you're living a successful life, fine. But I would just say, when it doesn't match up, there's a credibility issue. And we're seeing some online content creators and gurus. Definitely. And I think we made a decision in making this episode that we're not going to name anyone because that doesn't feel productive. But we're seeing some people right now getting called out for things like plagiarism, for not having credibility. And I think it's a real moment of – what's the word I'm looking for?
Oh, every time you think you need a word, I never have it. Give me a definition and I'll give you the wrong word.
Reckoning.
Oh, so glad you got it.
So there's a moment of reckoning I think that some of these people are having that I would say, if they were asking me for my advice, is like, this is just a moment to pause and check against the drive for success versus your integrity and the things that you're saying. You know, are you sacrificing your integrity, your truth, your vulnerability, your ability to live your life honestly in front of people? Because I believe that's what spiritual teachers really need to do. It's incumbent upon us to live honestly, whatever that is, to say that out loud and not put together a picture of perfection for people that we're selling that then makes people think, well, if I only do 1, 2, and 3 that Maury says, my life will be perfect like hers too. There's no such thing. So I guess that's what I'm saying, is that the credibility for me is like, are they selling you a picture of perfection? Are they promising you things that don't necessarily line up to the human journey, which is highs and lows of life?
Okay, so I get what you're saying, there's all these, there's some good, there's some bad, just like with any walk of life, there's always some good and there's some bad. But the question is, how do you tell them apart? How do I know if somebody's plagiarizing or they're just you being inspired by someone else's words, or as you said, tapping into the same well, so it's a very similar message. How do we trust, or what's a red flag maybe to pay attention to with somebody on the internet? I know one, but I'm waiting. I wonder if you'll say it. Go ahead.
Oh, what's yours? No, you say.
Mine is just the same as religion or cult or anything. If there's anyone ever telling you it's this way or else, it's not good.
Right.
That's always how I feel.
That's right.
There has to be. And yes. I feel like in a lot of spirituality practices, it's kind of more, much more inclusive. Like true, beautiful spirituality is inclusive of all in the way that we all come to the table. Whereas some other things like religion are not always the same. Anyway, red flags. What do you think are red flags?
No, this is what I believe, is that this, your spiritual journey and your self-growth help journey or self-growth journey needs to be about accessing your truest, clearest voice, period. Not someone else's. So if the work, if the things that you're following are about learning to trust yourself and learning to trust that connection to something greater, then yes. If it is creating distrust, shame, judgment, guilt, any negative feeling towards yourself and your ability to make decisions and your ability to trust your intuition, then I would say that is red flag number one. If someone wants you to make them God or trust them more than any other voice, including your own, that is red flag number one. Right. Other smaller things, transparency. How clear is the person about their own background, their life, their training, if it's pertinent? For example, I'm not certified as a life coach.
Right.
I'll say that openly. My expertise comes from a career in PR and crisis management and a gift of being a highly intuitive person who tends to be validated that the things I'm intuiting are spot on for the other person.
Right.
I have brought those two things together to create my methodology. I will say that to you over and over again. So looking for transparency about the person's background and on what basis are they sharing this information with you? What is their purpose? What are their values? What is the mission like of their work? Do you know the mission of their work? I think that's a really great thing to look for.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is like, are they pointing to other people's work, or are they connecting to research or other kinds of evidence or studies or historical texts or other teachings? Like, are they bringing in other sources of information to really show how their information is being grounded in either research or reading or connected to, like I said, all of these other beautiful teachers that have come up in history over the last thousands of years? Or are they saying it like it's their own idea and not giving credit where credit is due?
Now I want to get out there and sift through all the madness.
Right? I think that that's hopefully what the goal of this is. The other thing is, I don't want to say professionalism, but looking at their platform, does the platform across the board all connect? Do the puzzle pieces connect? Like, is everything that's being posted in the stories versus the feed, whatever, like, are you getting an authentic sense of this person's life? And when you get a sense of their life, do all the puzzle pieces click together to back up what they're teaching or guiding you towards? Being ethical is another really, really important one, right? Like, are they clear about what is the cost of their service? Do they offer scaled pricing to people so that everyone can have access to what they're doing? Are you seeing any pressure tactics, right? This is the thing that I find the most unethical, is fear tactics. Like, if you don't do this, then your life's going to go to hell. Or if you want to see your kids succeed, you'll do these three things. Anything that's fear-based,
I'll do it,
works really well. Yeah. But it creates a lot of negative pressure inside of someone that I think is really dangerous.
Okay, good. All good information. Any other red flags we or I should be looking for?
This is my favorite word. Accountability. Like, if you notice a lack of accountability, so one example, you're seeing a video with a bunch of comments or questions, and the content creator's not coming in to clarify or answer the questions. or be accountable to the topic that they've raised that might have caused confusion. Or if you do see that they're being outed online for something like plagiarism or lacking credibility or whatever, how are they responding to that to the community who has helped build their platform? Like, how are they taking accountability for the accusations, creating transparency, just really being there for you as a community rather than, you know, staying quiet or messaging something in a way that's meant to make them look really good? You can tell when someone's being accountable, right?
Yeah. And now I know we're not naming names, but now I'm like dying to know who these people are that we might be referring to.
Well,
but yes, I feel like I use, it's more than not just accountable. I feel like I use my intuition, basically. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost like anything else in the world. Like if you meet, if you're going in for a meeting with a lawyer and you're like, you give me the creeps.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, I'm not going to work with you.
100%.
I mean, I think it's the same thing if you're looking for a spiritual leader or guidance and something is making you feel really icky.
Yes.
It's like, that's not the vibe to go for.
But sometimes they make you feel really good because they're charismatic and they know how to do what they do.
Scary.
And that's, but listen, it doesn't make the things they're saying irrelevant. This is where I have an issue with cancel culture as a whole, is that it's like, we just toss people out completely as if there's nothing redeemable. Yeah. And I'm, listen, if people are creating like massive amounts of harm, they should go away and not be in a place of influence. But I'm talking about when there's nuances, we need to be able to hold that no one's perfect. Even someone who is online preaching, teaching, guiding, enlightening.
Right. We're all human.
They're human. We're all human. And I think that you need to be looking for your teacher to say that and own that and not be creating a projection of something godlike or perfect. Right?
Right. I wonder what like who's really enlightened? Who's like the one, like the Buddha?
Or like Ram Dass is a great example.
Yeah. Did Ram Dass ever say like, oh, I really messed up here?
He talks a lot about how he got really like hooked to psychedelics and it was making him completely lose connection to reality. But he talks a lot about his like the human part of his journey. And I think that that makes someone really credible, is if they aren't trying to project some image that isn't actually attainable. And this is the last red flag, by the way, which is connected to that, over-promising or sensationalizing something. You know, you take this course and then immediately you're enlightened. Or if you follow me, then you're going to have these guaranteed supernatural abilities or results. Like, really make sure that what they're promising you feels approachable for you and realistic for you. And that if you can't achieve the results, that there's some method of accountability with them to go back and say, hey, I didn't get what I was promised. What's a way you can keep working with me to do that?
You mean like when I follow all these people who do organizing and I'm like, I'm going to follow you and then I am going to be exceptionally organized. But then you open my junk drawer and you're like, you don't get it.
But do they promise you that you won't have a junk drawer?
They don't. Okay, good. They don't. And I would only follow someone who's like, do it this way, because otherwise it's not relatable for me personally.
Yeah. And listen, you have to have a certain level of confidence and knowledge that you're projecting when you're a content creator who is trying to guide people. So there's going to be that sense of like, do it this way, do it that way, and instruction kind of method. That's not a red flag. The red flag is I'm promising you X, Y, and Z. And those promises feel a little sensational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. So should we end on like a few things you can do to just make sure you're staying in a lane where the people you're following are additive to your life?
Okay.
Okay. Great. So number one, Bean said it. I've said it over and over again. This is a podcast about connecting to your signal. Really check in with your intuitive wisdom. That means the clearest part of your spirit. Does it feel uplifted by this content? Does it feel as though this is about trusting it, your higher self, your own intuitive wisdom, more than it is about trusting someone else over yourself? But just check in with that gut feeling, that deep knowing you have. How do you feel truly when you're listening to this person or interacting with their content? Number one. Secondly, do some research. If the gut feeling feels a little off, just Google them. Are there any articles? Is there any things you should be aware of? Are there any content creators out there that are accusing this person of stealing their content? Whatever it is, do a little research if you get that gut feeling and just learn more about the person. A lot of these people, right. Myself included, have written books. Like, read their books. Don't just go off the 30-second clip. Read what it is they have to say in the full contextualization of what they're saying, because
that's a good one.
You will really know when you get the full context.
That's a good one, because there's so – it's all like sound bites on the internet.
Yes.
And on – it's particularly on Instagram.
And
it's just all – and TikTok. Yeah, all these platforms. It's all just like little snippets of their overall message.
Yeah. And everyone
– good one. Good tip, Bean.
Thanks. Everyone can sound – brilliant in a 30-second soundbite. So go into their longer form content and see if they back it up and that they, you know, can give you context. And then, you know, just look at the community. Like I said, look at the comments. How do they engage with their community? How are they being responsive or not? How are people feeling in the comments? Just check the community without handing over your reasoning and your intuitive wisdom to groupthink. Right. Sometimes we can all decide something about someone and decide that they suck.
Right.
I'm not saying go with what everyone's saying. I'm saying just check in with how they're treating their community.
I never do that.
You don't look at the comments ever?
Like so rarely, because so much of it is such bullshit. But you're right. You also get a sense of what type of person, I guess, is following them.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you can kind of see if you're aligned with that type of follower or not, that therefore knowing if it's a good fit.
Yeah, totally. So great, that's tip. What I got for you, Bean. What do you think? You got
I think those are the takeaways. Those are really were the takeaways.
Well, I still want Melissa's famous takeaway. So without further ado, what is Melissa's famous takeaway?
Have a famous takeaway. It's just do your work. I mean, I feel like it's kind of the same as anything else in the world. Like, do your homework. You know what I mean? Like, don't just go blindly following anybody. How does it make you feel? How do they make other people feel? How do they show up in the world? How do they tell you to show up in the world? Fear is the big one. I don't like that. When anyone makes you feel scared or shameful about some experience, I think people who are really out there to heal and help aren't going to make you feel bad about yourself.
Absolutely. Because
what kind of healing is that? Yeah.
So true. And by the way, just because people are going to be cynical doesn't mean you have to be cynical too. There's going to be a lot of conversation about a certain person if they are truly making impact and growing their platform that might come from envy. It might come from cynicism. It might come from traditionalism. A lot of the people that we thought about mentioning and we were like, let's not. A lot of the criticism that was coming towards these internet spiritual gurus or guides or teachers was coming from very traditional therapists who felt that these people weren't licensed therapists and therefore not allowed to heal. I don't believe that, because I believe healing modalities in Eastern cultures and Eastern religions don't just include a Western licensed therapist. Like, it's not a holistic way of looking at things. And in fact, we had a therapist on, Suzanne was on, I think last year, talking about how, you know, modern day psychology doesn't talk enough about intuition. So I don't necessarily.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, call back.
Well, listen, that was such a good
intro. Call back. Good episode. So just know that, you know, check into the criticism too. Who is criticizing this person? And are they coming from a more traditionalist background that's not incorporating a holistic self, a holistic way of thinking? Or is it a very, you know, conservative background that doesn't like this person because it seems to speak against a Western religion? Check where the criticism is.
That's probably a lot. Yeah. I think that's probably a lot of the criticism is coming from that.
Yeah. So that's good to know too. All right. Well, Bean, I hope that this was helpful. I know.
Yes, it was helpful.
It was helpful. I know that it was a little uncomfortable for me to even think about. And so I'm really grateful that we got to do it, because part of my integrity is if something makes me uncomfortable, just dive right into it and talk about it. Because I always worry that I fall into this category and it's a tricky thing to talk about. But I think as long as there's integrity and you back it up and you walk the walk and you have a body of work that represents everything that you stand for, then you're solid.
I agree. And I'm pretty sure that anybody who works with you directly immediately knows it about you.
Hopefully. Well, Bean, I love you. That was fun. Guys, thank you for listening. And as always, a great way to support this show is to share this episode or any other episode with someone that you care about that you think would be uplifted, inspired, enlightened by our work and our content. So please do share. And remember to join us next week for another episode of Signal. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Grushka. Special thanks to our sound editors, Armand Kazam and Anushree Thekadeth. Make sure to join us next week for another episode.